The text selected for our meditation this morning is taken from the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, where we read the first four verses as follows. Then I saw a new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is the text. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is the truth. Please be seated. Anticipation. It's an action that is baked into the very essence of our DNA. It shows up at a very early age. This time of year really brings it out. Children are almost overcome by it as Christmas draws closer and the thought of opening presents draws bigger. That was certainly true for me and my younger brother. One of my earliest memories is of our dad loading the two of us into the car to attend Christmas service. But I was a little concerned because there weren't any presents under the tree. I had been anticipating what for me seemed like a very long time, not just for seeing them, but of course to open them. Our mom hopped in the car and a few minutes later and off we went to church. And after church, we stopped back at the house before we went to our uncle and aunt's for dinner. And I walked into the living room, and there they were. How did that happen? Of course, our mother wasn't looking for an earring or applying last-minute makeup. But at the age of 4 or 5, I didn't figure that out. The next couple of years, the routine repeated. My suspicions weren't aroused, but my anticipation went into overdrive. As we drove home from the Christmas service before we went back to our aunt and uncle's for dinner. I'm sure many of you have memories similar to that. We don't lose that sense of anticipation as we get older. I suspect that for those of you who are graduating this afternoon, you've been anticipating this moment for some time, and the anticipation intensifies as the time draws closer. Milestone events are like that for each of us. Weddings and reunions with close friends and family are similar kinds of events, but not all milestones are exciting, like the anticipation of opening presents at Christmas or graduation from college or having the opportunity to see someone you haven't seen for a long period of time. Some events bring with it a mix of excitement and doubt. Others maybe even doubt and fear. The last few chapters of Revelation give us an anticipatory glimpse of the most important milestone for all of humanity, the final judgment, and for believers, our eternal home in heaven. There is no doubt here. For those who have relied on themselves in any way, shape, or form to find favor with God in a way that they might be able to enter heaven, Scripture is absolutely clear. They will be delivered to eternal destruction. On our own, we are utterly unworthy to stand before the judge. Even with the assistance of another person, a philosophy, a deity, there's still no doubt. Each will be delivered to destruction. But just as clear and sure as the dread and fear connected to the end is for the unbeliever, the excitement is just as clear and sure for the believer. Let me give you an example from the early church. Think about the jailer in Philippi who never anticipated that the Apostle Paul and his associate Silas might escape from his prison. Then the unthinkable occurred. God caused a violent earthquake, causing the prison doors to open and the prisoner's chains to come loose. When the jailer realized that the prisoners were still there, he was overcome with the fear of God's power. He implored Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" Well, their response was clear and to the point. "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. For him, his household, and for each and every one of us, the message is exactly the same and is just as clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Now the anticipation turns from dread to excitement at this point. The vision that John had of the New Jerusalem intensifies the excitement for all believers throughout history as we anticipate joining our God and those who have gone before us into heaven. John's vision and the book that he wrote about it, that is Revelation, came at a critical time. The Christian church then was undergoing tremendous persecution. His words were written to remove any doubt and encourage fellow believers that we remain fixed on God as we draw closer to reaching heaven. The image of a heavenly Jerusalem as a bride dressed for a groom captures that anticipation. This is coupled with the assurance that any persecution, fear, or anxiety will disappear because, as our text says, God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Further on in the chapter, John goes on to tell us, nothing impure will enter it, that is, the New Jerusalem, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life. Adam and Eve were created in God's image that is perfect and were placed in a perfect world. But they disobeyed God and separated themselves as well as each and every one of us from God's perfection and that tree of life. Through the perfect life, death, and triumphant resurrection of the Lamb, however, the river of life comes flowing from him, and him only, and the perfect world in reunion of God comes full circle for the believer because of this. The anticipation is completed when we enter the New Jerusalem. It is finished. It is done, he says. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. We will continue to be creatures of anticipation throughout our lives, whether it's at the end of the semester, graduation, or whatever event comes our way through the rest of our life. But be assured that as we anticipate the reunion with God, it is sure and perfect. Let us confidently join the disciple John in saying, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Please now, Let's join for prayer with me, and if you would turn to page 147 at the beginning of the hymnary, if we would pray in unison prayer number 6. Please rise. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you gave your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to become man, and to come into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil, deliver us poor offenders from sin and death, and give us everlasting life. We beseech you so to rule and govern our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may seek no other refuge than this word, and thus avoid the sin to which we are naturally inclined, in order that we may always be found among the faithful followers of your Son, Jesus Christ, and by faith in him, eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the hymn.
Thank you.